Welcome to the W5BSA repeater. CL-123.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1623, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, August the 5th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, August the 6th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and I'll call Shiko through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. And also, we are on the 146.7 repeater in downtown Houston, the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and both of those repeaters are linked to other systems and use a PL tone of 123.0. And then we are also, when it's working, on the AMSAT DMR Talk Group 98006, YSF Fusion 11689. All-star node 572580, and we had some notice that maybe all those connections weren't working here the last few weeks, so we'll be keeping an eye on that, trying to figure that stuff out. We told Joe about it, and I know he's going to be putting some feelers out. And then, of course, we are also on Echolink on Star AMSAT Star. Okay, I'll now take any check-ins. Okay, well, we're going to start with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. They do hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. They have a local meeting here at a restaurant at 4:30 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. Central, they have a meeting on Zoom, and that's thanks to Walter. That's at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter and John keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team going there. And he says he's been doing some testing with one of the Pecan Apples trackers. It has a camera on board, so we'll be looking forward to when he gets that issues ironed out there and they start launching those balloons. Okay, let's see, we're going to switch over here to the AMSAT News Service Bulletin. And this is bulletin number 215 from Paul Stotzer. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators to share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as their volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins through the ANS list. You just go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. we have the AMSAT symposium call for papers and presentations. The proposals for AM symposium papers and presentations are invited on any topic of interest to the amateur satellite community. We request a tentative title of your paper for presentation as soon as possible, with a final copy submitted by October the 8th for inclusion in the symposium proceedings. Proposals for presentations of the symposium do not require a paper. Presentations will be recorded and made available on AMSAT's YouTube channel and transcribed and published with its slides in the proceedings. Proposals should be sent to Frank Kanoskis in 1UW, and that's at f.karnauskas@amsat.org, and we'll thank AMSAT for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. You can call and make a quick phone check into this net by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, and that would be to Whiskey Victor 5 Yankee or West Virginia 5 Yankee. As Andy used to like to say, of course, there's an email, and the email is to wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, let's see. The AMSAT removed before flight key tags are available, and yes, they are the real thing. They are lovely red and white and very attractive and get your attention. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It does include a first-class postage, and sorry, only U.S. addresses can be included. You can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain.
W5BSA repeater.
AMSAT UK has been busy. They've been testing the FM transponder for the Jovian 1 satellite, and that's David Bowman, G0MRF. He reports a successful on-air test of the AMSAT UK UV FM transponder, and that has been carried out. Destined for the 6U Jovian 1 satellite, this mode UV FM transponder had its first on-air test on Thursday, July the 24th, 2025. 70-centimeter 20-watt ERP signal was transmitted over a distance of 59 kilometers with a path loss of negative 150 dB and received by the FM transponder on a QFH antenna. And then the signal was retransmitted on 145.895 MHz. The first contact was between Mike Willis, G0MJW, and Graham Sherville, G3VZV. Well, we look forward to making sure they got all those issues ironed out. The thing is working good, and we look forward to seeing that in its satellite. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins are here, and they celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. You can help support golf and the Fox Plus projects. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today. And you just go over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club.
DL-123.
All right, let's see. Looks like Bruce is in here at the beginning, so I think URL should be available. Looks like he is on a board of directors meeting there with AMSAT. But, of course, you can go over to www.amsatnet.com and he makes the URLs we discuss available by a link on the front page there. The AO-123 FM transponder is to enter continuous service. And the transponder on AO-123 has been activated on a periodic basis since its launch in late 2024, but beginning this weekend, it is expected to enter continuous service if no issues are observed. AO-123, or ASTRU-1, is a 12U CubeSat mission designed by Russian and Chinese university students for education and amateur radio. The amateur radio station provides command uplink and telemetry / digital image downlink. A new SDR receiver was developed for ASTRU-1 to provide and experiment resources to radio amateurs, including a VU-FM transponder, a UHF telemetry downlink, and a 10.5 gig image downlink. See here, the uplink for ASTRU-1 is on 145.850 MHz with a 67 Hz CTCSS tone, and the downlink is on 435.400 megahertz. And we'll thank the AO-123 team for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. See, we're a quarter past the hour here. We're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to take a look around and see who's up checking in here via some of our alternate means here that we employ. All right, one of them's the landline. We talked to Charlie earlier today. That's K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. So we're glad he's doing good there, and we got him checked in. So, appreciate that. Okay, let's see. We've got Dale, WV0AKO. He's over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. And he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. So, we appreciate that. And then Vern, WV0RCR in Wentzville, Missouri, he transmits our net on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. Okay, we've got Kai in 6ZZO. He's one of our podcast listeners, and he's over there in McKinleyville, California, and he calls and checks in there via the landline also, so we appreciate there when we hear from Kai. broadcasting from the Internet Relay Cat system. We've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, so he's over there with Rachie. Good evening to both of them. And we got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX, and W8QHD. I think WAQHV is Travis. Good evening there, Travis. You're trying to tell from the people we got logged in there over with on the Internet Relay Chat system. But let's see, then from Echo Link, we've got Mitch, 80.0HJ, and of course, thanks to Mitch, there's a Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place that he's in charge of and puts on, and that's over on DMR, and that's on the Digital Talk Group for AmSat, which is 98006, and also YSF Fusion at 11689, as well as other connection modes. Appreciate Mitch putting on the Wednesday night AmSatNet, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time. We have Damien, AG9P. He's over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to Damien. And hello to Andrew, KC5LWI, down in Galveston. And, of course, he works on the ferry down there, keeps us all safe and lets us get across. We much appreciate that. And hello to Sean. We might have a new person here. That's KC0CVS. So we're checking you in. And good evening to the Houston AmSatNet. And then let's see, we've got Indoff. And that's N6UTC. And he's out there in Long Beach, California. So good evening to Indoff. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Well, the Ham TV was successfully installed on the International Space Station. On July the 29th, Johnny Kim installed the repaired Ham TV module in the ISS's Columbus module. Originally operational from mid-2015 until its failure in 2018, the repaired module was returned to the ISS earlier this year. Shortly after installation, reports of successful carrier reception were received from Europe. Carrier transmission is expected to continue for a few days. Ham TV transmits live MPEG-2 video using a DVB-S signal, and that's on 2395 megahertz for educational contacts. All right, and we want to say thanks to Aris for that one. All right, we're still waiting and looking forward to coming in 2025 is the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transmitter. It will have 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. So just the kind of thing you need when you're wanting to receive AM TV on 2.4 gigahertz or right under that. This unit will do it all. It's got direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band operations, up conversion, same capability. So there's your 5 gigahertz and 10 gigahertz. It does all modes, that being CW, single sideband, FTA, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, etc. And it has a minimum downlink data rate of 1 megabit per second. It's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So that comes from the AMSAT engineers and the ASCENT program, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology.
CL-123.
NOAA 15 and NOAA 19, the weather satellites, are to be decommissioned. NOAA has announced the decommissioning of NOAA 15 and NOAA 19. NOAA 15 will be decommissioned on August 12, 2025, and NOAA 19 will be decommissioned on August 19, 2025. These two remaining satellites in the NOAA Polar Operational Environmental Satellites constellation, or the POES constellation, are far beyond their primary mission design. All have incurred subsystem and instrument degradation or failures and have entered a twilight phase where failure modes are increasingly likely. NOAA has completed end-of-life testing activities for NOAA 15 and NOAA 19 and will commence the decommission process shortly. NOAA 18 had previously been decommissioned on June 6, 2025 at 1740 UTC. Many amateur satellite enthusiasts have copied the APT weather data from NOAA's POES satellites over the years. With a strong signal at 137 MHz, these satellites have served as a gateway to satellite reception. The decommissioning of these satellites represents an end of an era. I know I've copied those signals. One of those decisions you had to make back in the day when you bought your packet controller. Well, do you get the cam, the all-mode one that can do the weather satellites? Okay, we've got the Gridmaster map, the satellite top 100 rovers, and this is for the August 2025 rankings. And the August 2025 rankings for the top 100 rovers is mixed low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary in satellite operations. And it is as determined by @Gridmaster map on X, and it has been released. Ranking is determined by the number of grids and DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where a minimum number of QSOs logged on the Gridmaster.fr website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. Satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world satellite contacts to https://gridmaster.fr in order to provide more accurate data. Okay, here we go. And still in first place. Congratulations to ND9M. Okay, then we've got NJ7H, EG1FG, JA9KRO, N5UC, DL6AP, OE3SEU, VP0POL, F5VMJ, WI7P, K5ZM, LU5ILA, N6UA, W5PFG, N9IP, WY7AA, HA3FOK, DL2GRC, AK8CW, AB0DX, N4AKV, and then AB0HJ. There's Mitch in position 22. Okay, then we've got NB0C, BA1PK, and WB9EWK. Not bad, Mitch. Still in the top quarter there. Okay, we've got KX9X in 26, and then BJ8MS, KG5CCI, OM4AUC, N5BO, K8BL, KE4AL, KB5FHK, AC0RA, PA3GAN, JO2ASQ, F4BKV, VE3HLS, KI0KB, VA3VGR, KI7UNJ, HJ5LVR, LA9XGA. Okay, then from China we got BG7QIW, and then N7AGF, VK5DG, VF2ET, K7TAB, JL3RNZ, and XE3DX, position 50. Okay, KE0WPA, KE0PBR, JK2XXK, PR8KW, EB1AO, XE1ET, LU4JVE, W7WGC, AE4NF, N6DMM, SM3NRY, and then W8LR. Okay, then we've got KI7QEK, and then we've got W1AW in 64, and then in 65 we got AA5PK. We got B1CWJ, KE9AJ, F4DXV, DL4EA, AB7DB, SP5XSD, NA7DBB, VA3LM, and HP9GWJ. Okay, then the last quarter of the list. Let's see, we've got KM4LAO, VE7PTN, N4UFO, PT2AP, AA8CH, VE1VOX, VG8OJ, PT9BM, YU0W, KI7UXT, N6ETC, there's INDOP. Okay, that's in position 86. Now we've got KJ7NDY, AF5CC, K0FFY, JM1CAX, PS8BR, W8MTB, KB2YSI, N4DCW, KG4AKV, and WB8GRW, DK9JC. And then finally, we've got N0TEL-BE3GOP and WA9JBQ. And we want to thank the @GridmasterMath for that information. And, of course, that barrels us right into the VUCC Satellite Standing List. And this is the VCC Satellite Award Endorsement Change Summary, going from July the 1st to August the 1st for 2025. All right, let's see who's really been busy making the contacts. We've got K8DP going from 1738 to 1750. S57MML from 1028 to 1500. That's a pretty good jump. We've got EA2AA from 1085 to 1100. W8LR from 910 to 911. W9FF from 545 to 558. AG4W from 438 to 524. JH1NHK from 440 to 500.
PL-123.
Okay, we've got N6PAZ, going from 479 to 495. KE7RTB from 300 to 338. K5WO from 270 to 304. OH3DP from 176 to 226. NK0S from 170 to 171. N0RC from 151 to 170. Okay, then we've got KT80 from 100 to 153. And then new on the list, we've got W5HI at 150, KG5IPA at 135, N9V1EO at 133, B5TX is going from 110 to 128. You've got DM2RM new with 115, and WI5D also new with 100. Let's say congratulations to the new VUCC satellite holders, and KG5IPA is the first VC satellite holder from grid DM61. 9V1 is the first from Singapore, OJ11. And DM2RM is the first VC satellite holder from grid JO63. And I want to thank John Goering in 7AZ for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Got one more list to get through here. This is the DXCC satellite standings. So this is for an award endorsement change summary. But this is for a number of countries work. Okay, from July 1st to August the 1st, we've got F6 BKI going from 209 to 211 countries. MI0ILE from 125 to 200. That's a lot of work there. We've got YO2CMI from 184 to 185. OG7D from 166 to 176. YO3APJ from 165 to 170. EA2AA from 161 to 162, and SP3AU from 144 to 149. Okay, IK7FMQ is going from 130 to 141, DL2QB from 136 to 139, JH4UYB from 125 to 126, CT1EEB from 112 to 113, I4DOR from 101 to 109 and DG7RO from 103 to 104. And once again, we want to thank John Goering in 7AZ for that information.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Let's see here. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. And weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just download this file once a week. It'll update the positions of your satellites as long as you got all your time set right, and everything should be hunky-dory. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information on Keplerian elements. It's over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And this week, there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. And you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase new AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, we're taking a quick scan here. The new check-ins here immediately. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contact between the amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and Japanese astronauts aboard the International Space Station. And the gamma-like frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, looks like we've got an upcoming school contact that's going to happen. And that's the Sultanov International Aerospace School in the Republic of Kuturistan, Russia. The ISS call sign is scheduled to be RS0ISS, and the crew member scheduled is Sergei Rykinov, and the ARIS mentor is RV3DR. The contact is Monday, 8/11/2025 at 0745 UTC. Sometimes the school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if the school is live streaming. There is an EVA, a docking or an undocking going on at the ISS, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.99 megahertz up with a PL 7. And then in 437.800 megahertz is the downlink. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when an astronaut decides to do that. You may end up talking to one of them. All times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed here for our contacts. The latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.ares.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found www.ares.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safan and one of the ARIS operation team mentors for that information.
CL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. See, we want to remind everybody once again that our website is www.amsatnet.com, and thanks to Bruce, you can find information out there on how to get awards and certificates for making satellite contacts, and then there's more of that over at www.amsat.org. And in addition, you can find out the frequencies that the satellites are operating on, the status of the satellites, whether they're operational or non-operational, and there's information about the upcoming symposium, and you can get your banquet tickets and tickets for the symposium, and then there's the store. You can buy satellite antennas, all kinds of great stuff over there. So be sure and don't forget about www.amsat.org. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. See, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And then 25% of the price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And that's right over at www.zazzle.com/store/AmSat_gear. AmSat ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think a 75-minute presentation on working the Easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let him know by emailing Clint, and that's at K6LCSCLINT@gmail.com, or calling Clint at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. Coming up, where you're likely to see some AmSat ambassadors in action. August the 16th through the 17th, 2025, is the Huntsville Ham Fest at the Von Braun Center South Hall, 700 Monroe Street Southwest in Huntsville, Alabama, 35801. Okay, then you should find AMSAT ambassadors W1EME, WB4ASW, and WB1FJ presenting AMSAT information and booth stuff over there for the Northeast Ham Exposition, or HAMEX, and the New England ARRL Convention. And that's at the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center, 181 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, Massachusetts, 01752. Okay, and then the URL for that is www.hamex.org. And then September the 6th, 2025, the Greater Louisville Ham Fest. And that's at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165. And the AMSAT ambassador there should be W4FCL, Bo Lowry, the director of the AMSAT ambassador program. Okay, then there's the big one coming up, and that's October the 16th through the 19th, the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting in the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and the Annual General Meeting. And this takes place at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North at 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And the details are www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. If you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, you wonder what they do. Of course, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So to find out how and for more information, go to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we will thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. The Japanese Amateur Radio League command station for FO-29 plans to activate FO-29's linear transponder at a set schedule of times. The satellite will remain active from the listed times under the satellite's undervoltage control switches off the transponder. And this is from the JARL. Okay, August the 1st, we've got 2344 till power goes away. August the 3rd, 0034 till whatever. August the 9th, we've got two passes at 0018. And then another one at 2323. And then August the 16th, you should hear it at 0052 until whatever. And then again at 2357 until whenever. And then August the 13th from 0016 until it runs out of juice, and at 23:21 until it runs out of juice. The SpaceX True 11 mission to the ISS launched on August the 1st. The crew includes three amateur radio operators, Mike Fink, KE5AIT, Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN, and Camilla Yui, KG5BPH. Included in the cargo is HDMI adapters to enable ham TV to utilize more cameras aboard the International Space Station. And we want to say thanks to NASA and SpaceX and ARIS for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WB5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Switch gears here in just a second, and we're going to jump over right to Space Daily.
CL-123.
We've got a couple minutes here left anyway, and from Moon Daily, we've got NASA's Lunar Trailblazer mission. It ended, but without mapping the moon. And let's see, this is by Alan Cohn, Washington, D.C., from August the 4th. NASA's Lunar Trailblazer mission to the moon ended in failure after the government agency lost contact with the spacecraft one day after the launch in February, and never regained communication despite extensive efforts. The mission ended Friday, NASA said, Monday, in a news release. On February the 26th, the satellite was part of the IM-2 mission by Intuitive Machines aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from Kennedy Space Center. The spacecraft, built by Lockheed Martin Space, successfully separated from the rocket 38 minutes after launch. Another spacecraft, the Polar Resources Ice Mining Experiment, touched down on the lunar surface on March the 6th near the moon's south pole. But because the Athena lander was resting on its side inside a crater, the mission lasted only 10 hours instead of 10 days because it couldn't recharge its solar cells. The Lunar Trailblazer didn't make the 238,000-mile journey from Earth to the moon's surface.
W5BSA repeater.
At NASA, we undertake high-risk, high-reward missions like Lunar Trailblazer to find revolutionary ways of doing new science, Nikki Fox, Associate Administrator at NASA Washington Headquarters, said. While it was not the outcome we had hoped for, mission experiences like Lunar Trailblazer helped us to learn and reduce the risk for future low-cost small satellites to do innovative science as we prepare for a sustained human presence on the moon. She said thank you to the Lunar Trailblazer team for their dedication in working on and learning from this mission through to the end. Limited data after the launch determined Lunar Trailblazer's solar arrays were not properly oriented toward the sun, and then, of course, the batteries then were depleted. NASA said several collaborating organizations worldwide listened for the spacecraft's radio signal and tracked its position. As lunar trailblazer drifted far beyond the moon, our model showed that the solar panels might receive more sunlight, perhaps charging the spacecraft's batteries to a point it could turn on its radio, Andrew Koresh, Lunar Trailblazers Project Systems Engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California, said. The global community's support helped us better understand the spacecraft's spin, pointing, and trajectory. In space exploration, collaboration is critical. This gave us the best chance to try to regain contact. Based on ground radar and optical observations, the lunar trailblazer was in a slow spin going into deep space. The spacecraft became too distant, and its signal would have been too weak even if it got energy. JPL built the satellite's high-resolution volatiles and minerals moon mapping imaging spectrometer to detect and map water and minerals. The spectrometer had been approved for a future orbital flight. We're immensely disappointed that our spacecraft didn't get to the moon, but the two science instruments we developed, like the teams we brought together, are world-class, said Bethany Inheim, the mission's principal investigator at Caltech. This collective knowledge and the technology developed will cross-pollinate to other projects as the planetary science community continues to work to better understand the moon's water. In the 1990s, NASA's Clementine mission detected water on the moon, the first spacecraft to completely map the lunar surface. The lunar mapping missions are intended to further scout surfaces for water that could sustain humans. The Artemis II is scheduled to reach the moon no earlier than April the 26th, and a crewed Artemis III is planned for mid-2027 aboard the Orion spacecraft. Humans have not been on the moon since 1972. Okay, well, that takes us just about to the end of our time here. So we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. Stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios and making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, WE5ACM, and then Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.